Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Ball is a high drive in the deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is the
swing and a drive to deep right. Away back.
The big deal like Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack cookie and get a prize?
Oh, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land.
This is our sports report.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of our sports report. Kurt Ashcraft alongside Matt Schock with you here for today's podcast. Thank you all for joining us. We are actually recording this toward the end of day two of the 2014 NFL draft. If you were able to follow us on Twitter at @OS_report, we covered the draft in its entirety there for the first round, at least, giving you each and every pick. There were a couple of picks that really kind of went bonkers a little bit. But the most important part was that things went fairly well. A couple of things happened that our own Matt Schock is even testing his own loyalty for his team, the Cleveland Browns. So we're actually going to be bringing you a draft edition of the podcast here for our sports report. So we thank you all for joining us, but let's just break into it because it was a crazy day one, at least. Matt Schock had one thing for his Browns. Just one thing. Don't draft Johnny Manziel.
You're gonna do this to me.
I'm just saying. You said it. I'm gonna repeat it. That's just the way it is.
That's true.
You said don't draft him under four. Okay? Number four pick comes up. They trade it to Buffalo for a first rounder next year. And Buffalo grabs Sammy Watkins. Okay.
It looks so good at the time.
Yeah, it looks
too.
So good. And then so today.
Good. So good.
Today, what
had to be too good to be true?
What wonderful news came out today?
And we find out that Josh Gordon, who we felt clearly needed no help because we didn't take Sammy Watkins and then decided instead to get a cornerback, we now have Josh Gordon possibly being suspended for the entire season because he's a pothead, Fokker. That's all there is to it. He's a pothead. So,
and,
yeah. Yes, hindsight is 2020, but this happened 2 months ago. To me, it's not as if the Browns did not see this coming.
Right.
Or know that they may or may not have to cover for him. Mm-hmm. So, here they are, and they do nothing, absolutely nothing, to cover their own rear end.
True.
Not a thing. I am speechless. And for those of you who don't know me, that's saying something.
It takes a lot.
That takes a lot.
In all honesty, I figured they were going to make the pick. I really did. I thought they were going to draft Sammy Watkins. He was there. He was available. But the thing that Buffalo dangled in front of them was that number one pick, or that first round pick next season.
Well, apparently they're going to need it when Johnny Manziel gets broken in half. But
possibility.
That's.
Yes.
We'll get to that, I'm sure.
And they have still, folks, we are almost through three rounds, and the Cleveland Browns have still yet to pick.
No receivers.
A receiver. And actually, they are out of their. We are through three rounds, and they have not picked a receiver.
Oh, it's all the way done?
For the Browns, at least.
Oh, well.
All the way done. So
it was done for the Browns before they started.
Just what an interesting draft we've seen, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take the next few minutes and kind of cover things, the next couple of segments throughout this podcast. Go over the draft, you know, how the Bengals have done, how the Browns have done, kind of hashing on what the Steelers have been able to accomplish, and just some, you know, big picks that happen here and there, and where we were able to go with that. So we'll be able to cover that here in the draft edition for the NFL here on our sports report over the next couple of segments. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll get back to NFL draft action here on our sports report.
For the latest sports stories for the fans, from the fans, check out Our Sports Report. Conveniently located on the interwebs at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Our Sports Report. You can visit the podcast and the blog on oursportsreport.wordpress.com. Also find us on Twitter at @OS_report. Here we are with the 2014 NFL Draft edition of the podcast, Kurt Ashcraft alongside Matt Schock. And kind of like we said, you know, we're here in Central Ohio. Something we tend to do is cover the teams within our area. And probably the most well-known team and most followed team, especially in the central northeastern area that we call home, is the Cleveland Browns. And our own Matt Schock happens to be a proud, very proud Cleveland Browns fan. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, of all the teams in the NFL draft, the Browns have probably shaken things up the most. As we said, they traded number 4 to come back to number 9 yesterday. And what would have been Sammy Watkins then turned into Justin Gilbert, cornerback out of Oklahoma State, which I think is a great pick. I mean, put him on opposite side of none other than Joe Hayden. I think it would be a really good 1-2 punch on the corners. And then you have your number 26 pick that you got in the Trent Richardson deal from the Indianapolis Colts. And you turn that into a trade up to number 22. And you drafted none other than Johnny Football himself. Johnny Manziel, quarterback out of Texas A&M. And I was beaming from ear to ear because I knew Mr. Schock was irate.
I saw it coming.
How could you not?
They traded up, and I went, oh, crap. Here we go. Here we go. I'm going to have to find a new team. And I was very sold on that at the time. I said, I'm going to follow through with it. I'm done with this crap organization. I can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. I was going to do it.
Right.
And then I had thoughts. And thoughts really just screw up everything, as we all know. And by last night, late, before I finally went to bed and all, I thought to myself, am I really going to divorce this team? Or am I just going to be like the wife on TV that just gets ticked at her husband and just goes to stay with her mother for a few days? Is that what I'm going to do? I'm still not sure. Well, you know, the Browns just keep beating me, and I can't decide if I should just leave. You know, sometimes you got to stay together for the kids, but
right.
I'm not sure this metaphor can keep going.
Well, I came into this podcast because I knew Schock was having this dilemma. And I came up with a couple of options.
Oh, no.
For Schock to jump ship. Go a couple different ways. You know what I mean? So, if without further ado, I'm going to give Matt Schock and you all listening a list of teams that if Matt wants to leave the Cleveland Browns, here are some logical fits.
This ought to be good.
Number 1, the Chicago Bears. Now, my explanation for the Chicago Bears is pretty simple. Matt Schock, as big of a Browns fan as he is, he's even a bigger Chicago Cubs fan, okay?
Yes. So, now we understand several things about me.
Yes. So, if you're a Cubs fan, you know, just go over to Soldier Field and become a Bears fan. Just makes sense, right? So, there's one option. Take it or leave it. Another option is something that just doesn't seem like you, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. The Indianapolis Colts.
No.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Nah, okay.
Close enough within the area, about a 3.5-4 hour drive. And it kind of keeps you relevant. And they got a young quarterback in Andrew Luck. They just seem like your kind of team. Is while I was kind of going there. But my favorite one, and this is what I really think you're going to go for.
I'm scared.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
No.
And here's my reasoning. You've been a Browns fan and a Cubs fan for all these years, so you must be a glutton for punishment. So just might as well go with the worst team in the league.
The absolute worst team in the league. I thought I was a fan of the absolute worst team in the league.
You're not, my friend.
But
you
apparently,
are not.
I managed to forget about the Jacksonville Jaguars
and how
bad they've had it for pretty much their whole existence, except for the few years that was it Mark Brunell that was there for
Mark
a while.
Brunell, David Garrard.
Back in the day, there for a little bit, they were
relevant,
minorly relevant. Now they just need to move to London and quit being a thorn in our side.
Now, my wild card pick.
Oh, no. For my team?
For your team.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This ought to be good.
None other than the Tennessee Titans. Within the geographical area, for one, there's really nothing about the Titans that can really upset you.
Other than their ugly uniforms.
Sure. Yeah. If those kind of things
that would
upset
also
you.
Disqualify Jacksonville because those are the worst.
God, those are bad. And you're a big Buckeye fan. Eddie George used to be a stud there. So there's a little bit of tie. And that's about it.
That's about it.
But it makes sense if you ask me.
And part of what made me, consider staying with my bastard husband that is the Cleveland Browns was the fact that there's really every team I looked at, I could find something I hated. I mean, obviously, I can't go to the Steelers. I can't go to the Ravens. I can't go to the Bengals because those are all rivals of my current team, and I hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to work. Plus, Bengals uniforms, bad. Just trust me.
Not bad.
They look like Tony the Tiger. If I wanted Frosted Flakes, I'd eat the cereal. I'm not going to go to a football game. Okay?
Just go to Cincinnati.
Anywho,
oh my gosh.
We're going to go from there. Okay. Can't do any of those.
Okay.
I can't do the Colts.
Okay.
Because if the Colts had just stayed in Baltimore where they belonged, then Cleveland would have never left Cleveland.
Oh,
and then maybe Trent Dilfer would have won us a Super Bowl. Maybe. Probably not,
okay,
but
Trent
maybe.
Trent Dilfer also went to Cleveland
and
did
was
not
bad.
Win you a Super
he
Bowl.
He was horrible. But I'm just saying, that's our Super Bowl. Because when they won that Super Bowl, it was still guys who played for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Screw you, Baltimore.
Okay.
That's me. No Baltimore.
No
Indianapolis.
Baltimore.
Because of their Baltimore ties. I can't do it. So
okay.
As I go through all the teams in the NFL, I literally find something I hate about every one of them. So it just becomes readily apparent that moving is pointless at this rate. So, and then when you add Josh Gordon and his appetite for the marijuana.
The marge.
Then what? Things are just business as usual with the Browns, aren't they?
Same stuff.
We thought yesterday, I wasn't a fan of the Johnny Manziel pick. I'm still not. I don't think he's going to be anything great. But if you look at the way they handled themselves, they did a bang up job with the first round of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought. Then you get to today, and you think, well, no, they really didn't do such a great job. And even yesterday, I texted you and I said, Ray Farmer is either a genius or he's a moron, and I'm not sure which, and it scared me. And today, I now know why I was scared, because he apparently is a putz. So that's where we're at with my Brownies.
Okay.
I'm still undecided. I might leave him yet. I haven't filed for the papers just yet.
Okay.
But it can't really get any worse.
It's true.
We could be Jacksonville, but,
Oh, God, do you really want to be Jacksonville?
We're close enough. We're close enough. Manziel might put us there. We'll see. So, it is what it is. You look deep in thought over there, Kurt. What's going on?
Well, I'm just looking to see what the Browns have been able to pull off there in the first 2 days of the draft. As we did talk about, as going in the first round, number 9 overall was Justin Gilbert. And then 22nd overall was none other than your boy, Johnny Manziel. And then round 2, that kicked off tonight. And I'll tell you what, it just kind of a little different train of thought, this might be the first NFL draft that I have just been completely locked in on. I mean, I've darn near watched every pick, and that does not happen very often. So, it's been interesting. It's been a fun one to watch. I was listening to Colin Cowherd this morning, and he said that stats came out that the first round of the draft had better ratings than four of the World Series games last year.
Colin Cowherd is a ratings whore.
Isn't he, though?
I mean,
loves him some
every
ratings.
Time there is a sporting event, he starts talking about how great the ratings are. Oh, that's just got so much better ratings, and they're all better than baseball.
Of course.
He is like baseball's worst enemy, I think.
He's up there.
He hates baseball.
He does.
He is just can think everything he thinks of is just a way to slowly get rid of America's pastime. Therefore, Colin Cowherd is a communist.
In his head, the NFL is America's pastime.
Well, he's an idiot.
Well.
So he's just like Trey Wingo. Idiot.
Trey Wingo is not an idiot. Oh,
he made
on a
Hogwarts reference at the draft.
Dude.
This is football.
Oh, come on. When you're dealing with Trent Dilfer and the hair, come on, man. You got to mix things up a bit. If you don't know who the hair is, it's Mel Kiper. His hair hasn't changed since 1984, folks.
Where Eagles dare, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my gosh. He's had 30 years of the same hair, and the color hasn't changed.
Do you ever notice he looks sort of like the Count?
He does.
One. And it's perfect with being in the draft, too. And the first pick.
I just need to love see him it. On a bounce, like a box of
He needs
Dracula.
A cape.
Okay.
This is perfect.
Oh,
we
got
to get him a cape and send it to him.
Mel, if you're listening, or if you check this out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure Mel Kiper listens to us.
Okay, let me be very honest.
Okay.
I fully realize nobody listens to this podcast.
They have to.
I'm fine with it because this is just fun. Yeah. We're not getting paid. And if we were getting paid, we'd starve. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. I'm fine with it. However, before we go any further, we must welcome
this is
a
huge.
New
this is news.
A new member of the family to the Our Sports Report Twitter account.
Followers.
Now, we don't know how this happened, and we're not going to sit here and act like we've arrived because, again, as I said, no one listens to this podcast. We are a stupid sports blog that just has fun, okay?
Okay.
I mean, yes, that maybe downplays it a bit, but, I mean, we're not – to the national level on anything,
goodness,
right?
No,
we're
no.
just having fun, okay? Yeah. And none other than Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah!
Somehow started following us on Twitter.
And not a fake account.
No,
like,
this is
the,
this has
the
little
dude.
Blue check mark beside
yeah, certified.
It.
Certified.
So, welcome.
Absolutely.
I don't like you, but welcome. I mean, this will take what we can get.
Heck yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's because I... You know, said Bradley Roby was just trying to become the next Pac-Man Jones.
That might be it.
Or,
but
I don't know.
You know, maybe that was. I don't know. But that's beside
whatever.
The point.
You know, I don't care. We got him here as long as he's here.
Yes. So thank you, Adam.
Welcome Pac-Man. In, sir.
Yes, we're proud to have you a part of the family.
I'm glad you can pay attention to us before your next jail stint. I appreciate that.
We really do.
From
appreciate
the bottom
that.
Of my heart, that's good of you. Anyhow.
Good of you. Okay.
What else did the Browns do?
All right. So
I was busy drinking bleach at this
yes,
point.
Yes, you were. Yeah. And my apologies. Gilbert went with the number 8 pick.
I'm going to interrupt you again.
Okay.
Can Gilbert go wrong at this point? I mean,
absolutely
does anybody
not.
Give a crap that he's even on this team? They're so enamored with Johnny Manziel. There is almost no way that Gilbert can become a bust at this point.
No way.
Because
not a chance.
He's just going to go play cornerback. He's going to do his thing.
Yep.
He's going to be great. And nobody will care. Nobody at all will care because they're going to be looking at Johnny Douche Pickle on the sideline. So, whatever. Congratulations, Justin Gilbert. You're going to be the first successful draft pick that the Browns have had since Joe Thomas. Thank you.
In the second round, the Browns were able to draft Joe Bitonio, offensive tackle out of Nevada. And then the final pick of the second night, in the third round, they went and took Kirksey, an offensive and outside linebacker out of Iowa. Chris Kirksey, out of University of Iowa. So those are the first four picks that the Browns had through the first three rounds of the draft.
And you'll notice all of those picks, none of them are wide receivers.
None.
And
you got two picks in the fourth round tomorrow, a sixth and a seventh rounder then after that. No picks in the fifth.
But none of them are wide receivers. One of which we may be without.
Maybe Ray Farmer is working on a trade right now. I don't know.
Is he going to be part of what takes Ryan Mallett to the Texans? What are the Texans doing?
I don't know. It is the most... Okay, folks, if you don't already know, the Texans, they came into this draft and they literally had no quarterback. I mean, okay, they had some quarterback, but it was literally garbage. They have T.J. Yates. They have T.J. Yates. They have Case Keenum. And then apparently they have Ryan Fitzpatrick. So there's something. But they came into this draft.
Fitzpatrick? When did they get him?
I don't know. But I just saw something.
All right.
Yeah. But let me see here. This is what they have come up with. All right. This is what they've done in the draft. They have the number one pick overall, and they took Jadeveon Clowney. Okay?
Smart.
Smart pick.
You can't argue with that. Everybody and their uncle said Jadeveon Clowney, first pick, first guy to get the open mouth kiss from Roger Goodell.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Then,
no sloppy seconds for you.
Exactly. My goodness, you just go over everywhere. Then they take Xavier Suafilo, offensive guard at a UCLA. All right, shoring up that offensive line for the quarterback they don't have. Ooh. So, and then they go and they take, I believe, Chris Fedorowicz, a tight end out of Iowa. Saw him play against the Buckeyes a couple of times. And he's a pretty well stout gentleman. And then also in the third round, they take Lewis Nix III, that defensive tackle out of Notre Dame, who's pretty studly himself.
Yes, he is.
But no quarterback. None. And I'm just confused on what they're doing. Now, there was reports that came out earlier today that they were going to go after Ryan Mallett with Bill O'Brien, used to be up in New England, a fan of Mallett, possibly wanting to bring him down to Houston, and Ryan Mallett get a shot at being the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. Have not heard any word on that, but you would think that'd be the way that they're going right now.
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yu Darvish,
okay,
is in the midst of a no-hitter against Boston.
All right, so you, who almost had a no-hitter last year,
is looking at one right now. It's in the eighth inning.
Ooh la la.
Yes. Anyhow, back to what we were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So either Houston has things figured out and we're all just a bunch of ding-dongs, or what the case is, but they need a quarterback. And they, granted, they have two picks in the fourth round, a fifth rounder, three sixth rounders, and two seventh rounders. So chances could be pretty good that they pick one then, but I'm not sure. They got to get something figured out because they need a quarterback to sling the rock.
Speaking of crazy draft moves that we're really not sure what they're doing, what is with the 49ers and having 12 million running backs right now?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Carlos Hyde, my boy.
Yeah, they just drafted Carlos Hyde in the second round, and he will go along with Frank Gore, Marcus Lattimore, LeSean McCoy, and Kendall Hunter. That's five running backs that all see playing time.
They've got to have some sort of deal.
Something's got to go
cooking.
On.
Because
so,
I don't know what
it
is. It
makes sense that Carlos Hyde is now the heir apparent to Frank Gore.
Right.
That only makes sense.
Yeah.
Because Marcus Lattimore still recovering from his second ACL tear, and which, I'm sorry, I'm not sure why they drafted him in the first place. LeSean McCoy, he was a stud in college. I just don't think he has what it takes to hold up in the NFL, and you know that's kind of been apparent so far. Kendall Hunter's been a nice change of pace back for him the last couple of years, but for a guy to be an every down back like a Frank Gore, like a Carlos Hyde, just not that kind of guy. I'm kind of surprised they went second round with that, but that's just the way that Harbaugh likes to run his stuff out there in San Francisco. So you can't dog him for it. I mean, it makes complete sense. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I am going to break down the Bengals draft because obviously Shock doesn't care about it.
Thank you.
So I am going to, when we come back, break that down, and when we come back here on Our Sports Report.
For honest sports stories for the fans from the fans, check out Our Sports Report, featuring fan commentary on the latest sports stories and issues from college football to ice hockey. Find us online at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
And welcome back here on Our Sports Report, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt Ashcraft alongside Matt Schock, who is just still a bitter person.
That's just the way.
And so upset.
If you root for the Browns and the Cubs and the Blue Jackets and whoever in the world, and sometimes the Buckeyes, it just depends on what day it is, disappointment just follows you around. And you get bitter. You can only take so much.
I'm convinced you were born in the wrong era. You should have been born in the 30s, the 20s. You and Jim Thorpe would have been best friends.
Jim Thorpe.
You would have just, you know, made fire out of stone and lived off the land.
He basically says this because I complain about everyone.
Everything.
Everyone, everything. Apparently nothing goes well in my life, which is false. I'm pretty happy. Just not about sports. That's basically how it comes down.
He just complains so much.
I mean, what can you do?
I have no idea. I would like to see you happy.
I mean, I finally get even a player on the Cubs that I'm excited about, and they're probably going to trade him. Because, frankly, that team's just not there yet. I knew this.
You kind see, you always have this little bit of false hope about your Cubbies.
I do.
Every year.
I always just kind of think, you know, I understand we're rebuilding, but could we at least just go 500?
Dude, do you realize 500 in Cleveland is a winning season?
500 is a winning season anywhere.
Okay.
Practically.
I don't know.
Actually, technically, by the numbers, it's not a winning season.
Right.
But
like, okay, in New York,
a big deal,
Boston,
in a lot of places.
That's crap. 500? That's our little.
Rangers, Yu Darvish, has a no-hitter through 8 innings.
Oh, my goodness. Three
11
outs
strikeouts
to go.
And 2 walks.
I'll be darned.
So, Yu no Darvish. Perfect game for Yu Darvish.
But might be a no-hitter.
Might be a no-hitter.
Hmm.
Yippee.
But, so transitioning to what the Bengals have done so far in the draft.
They're great.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Is that where you're going?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
You have been picking on me all night about my Browns.
Dude, I deserve it. So, the Bengals have had a pick in the first, second, and third rounds.
Pac-Man Jones.
Yes, Pac-Man Jones.
The Bengals.
A new follower of
our
sports report.
Apparently.
Goodness, such a.
Never liked him till now, but hey.
Yeah. So, in the first round, with the 24th pick, the Bengals selected Darquez Dennard, cornerback out of Michigan State.
Great.
Who
great
I pick. Was just ecstatic over. I had no thought in my mind that he was going to drop that far. He did. I was super excited because he's just such a they've basically kind of given him this title as like a Velcro corner. Like, he's just on you constantly, like Velcro. So he's just, you know, he sticks you, and he's a hard-hitting kid. He reminds me so much of possibly a Joe Hayden, maybe a little bit of Darrell Revis mixed in there. I really think this kid is going to be a star down in Cincinnati and really shore up the other side of the corner there for the Bengals.
The question is, will he really fit in Cincinnati? What's his prison record look like?
Oh, goodness gracious. We take all kinds down in Cincinnati.
Apparently we do in Cleveland as well. Apparently in Cleveland we'll just draft anybody who just craps on everything that the whole city stands for.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
Anyhow.
So in the second pick, this
what
is
does Cleveland
one
even stand for? I'm not sure what that means.
Nothing.
I'm sorry. This is about Cincinnati. I'll shut up now.
Okay. You good?
No, but that's okay.
No. So in the second round pick, the Bengals, who had a chance to draft Carlos Hyde, which I thought, okay, not a bad idea. The law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, his time will be ending soon here in Cincinnati. Thank God. Giovanni Bernard, who really came off out of nowhere last year and really had a great season for the Bengals. He's going to be probably their legitimate number one guy. But a chance to draft Carlos Hyde with the 23rd pick in the second round, and it seemed like it was going to make sense. And then they went with Jeremy Hill, which still is not a bad pick. Don't get me wrong. Jeremy Hill is a pretty outstanding running back. The problem with Jeremy Hill is Jeremy Hill has a couple of things on his record.
He fits right in Cincinnati.
Yes, he fits right in Cincinnati. Thank
Apparently,
you.
Carlos Hyde slapping a chick in the bar just isn't good enough to get him
it's
in the bank.
Not, no, we need actual like battery and assault to get him out
we're
in Cincinnati.
Happy with his off the field contribution. Oh, it's perfect.
It wasn't physical enough. So yes. We draft Jeremy Hill, and he's a big, bulky running back. I mean, he north-south runner. I like what he stands for. I think he can be pretty good. He claims all that stuff is behind him.
Yes.
And right. So we shall see how that goes.
Pac-Man Jones claimed it was all behind him at one time.
Yeah, didn't he? Yeah, now he's following us on Twitter. Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't know what that says about us. But apparently, this is the one time where not having a felony on the record hurt you in the draft.
Exactly.
Congratulations, Carlos Hyde.
Oh, goodness.
Congratulations.
But Jeremy Hill coming to Cincinnati, so hooday out to Jeremy Hill. And then the third round, the Bengals selected defensive end out of West Virginia, William Clark. Going to be real with you folks, don't know too much about this guy. Have not watched much West Virginia football since the Steve Slayton days.
That's been a little while for those of you that
didn't know.
Not
many other people have either. So
I can tell you how many downs of West Virginia football I have watched.
Four.
Not even.
Oh, goodness.
Zero.
Oh, wow. So William Clark headed to the Bengals. And in all honesty, the guy that they're filling him with, Clark, he's 6'6", 271 defensive end, fills that spot pretty nice. Lost Michael Johnson to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the offseason. He was that tall, physical defensive end off the corners. A lot of speed, a lot of power. Dude repped a 4.7 40-yard dash. Not bad for a defensive end. Can't, sneeze at that one.
No.
So he's definitely got some speed off the corners.
How much does he weigh again?
271.
And he's moving that 4.7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck. So whoever's trying to run against him, good luck.
So William Clark headed to the Bengals. And in all honesty, folks, I have not been disappointed with the Bengals draft in probably the last 5-6 years.
The Bengals have done well.
They really have.
They've been under the radar doing well for quite a while, which is nice because I guess if you're an Ohio football fan and don't care about the whole Cleveland-Cincinnati thing, you can have some semblance of sanity with at least one team in this state.
And then tomorrow, right, the Bengals, they will draft in the fourth round, the fifth round, and then have two picks in the sixth round and two picks in the seventh round.
Wow, they could do some stuff here.
They could really get some. And in all honesty, a couple of positions I really want to see them fill. If they can, in the fourth round, go with an outside linebacker, I think that'd be phenomenal. Get some more stuff, get another player to shore up that defense. Possibly go free safety, maybe. But you got your defensive end that's, obviously probably a work in progress. Another running back that you can capitalize with Giovanni Bernard. I like what you did with Denard, putting him at the corner. He'll be great on the other side of Leon Hall. But I'll tell you what, folks, with the fourth or fifth round pick, and I'm being serious, the Bengals really need to think about drafting another quarterback.
They have to draft a quarterback.
Yes. Because right now, Jason Campbell behind Andy Dalton is not going to cut it.
Is that who's down there?
That is who is down
there, man.
In Cincinnati. Jason Campbell.
Speaking from experience of last year, that's not the guy you want pushing
no.
your starter.
No.
At all. Because he doesn't push him to do anything.
Because Andy Dalton
Andy Dalton is comfortable.
Exactly. He has become comfortable because ever since he's came into the league, his last 3 years, from his rookie year to now, he has got the Bengals to the playoffs, something they had only been able to do twice before that.
You know what?
And this is a big deal. So now he's comfortable. He's fine with it. He's basically doing his job, and now he wants a big pay raise. And I'll tell you what, I'm not ready to give Andy Dalton a pay raise. Because until you can push the envelope and get past the first round of the playoffs, then you might earn something.
Andy Dalton's got a little Johnny Manziel to him. He's a little cocky, a little arrogant.
I don't know. I see.
Wants a big raise and hasn't done anything to earn it yet.
Johnny Manziel hadn't even asked for a big raise yet.
Yeah, but he came out on stage doing the money sign.
Well, that's just him. That's his big old middle finger to the establishment is what that is. Fine, you don't want me to sign autographs for people and make money? Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to throw the money.
Do it anyhow.
Okay, exactly.
Anyways.
But, no, in all seriousness, a young stud quarterback needs to come up through, get drafted, and basically light a fire under Andy Dalton. It has to happen.
How would you feel about, say, a Kenny Guyton in the seventh round?
I would not be opposed to it.
To the Bengals.
I would not be opposed to it.
Push young Dalton along.
I think he'd be available, and I think
he's going to be available. Or anybody else taking him?
I would not be opposed to it.
I think he's undrafted free agent, if anything. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen him at least have the attitude to where he could get into an NFL team and really, just with work ethic, push the guy in front of him. Maybe he's never going to start. Maybe he's never going to do anything great. Maybe all he's ever going to do is hold a clipboard. But I think you'll see a team grow with him on it.
Update, ladies and gentlemen, from the draft. The Cleveland Browns have traded into the third round.
Oh,
and with the 30th pick, they have selected running back Terrence West out of Towson University.
Scott Hatterberg. Who?
Exactly. Terrence West, running back. 5'9", 225, out of Towson University. If you have never heard of Towson, they are out of the Patriot League, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why you've never heard of Towson.
Exactly. His 40-yard dash.
What division is that? Division 12?
It's Division 1. It's like 1AA, it's but
like
it's
Bethune
still there.
Cookman or something like that. Same sort of deal.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
But ran a 4.5 40, which I think is the most important stat to base someone on.
Well, at least they didn't take Trent Richardson in the first round this year.
This is true.
They didn't.
But you got Ben Tate, so maybe this kid, maybe this Terrence West kid is going to be kind of a change of pace back. That's a possibility.
Maybe he's going to be a good tackling dummy on the practice squad.
Possibility.
We'll see what happens. But, I mean, I think this is a smarter way to take a running back in a year that
right.
you maybe don't need one than to take him too high. Like, I think Carlos Hyde in the second round was a bit of a reach for the Browns. I don't think they need that quite yet. Maybe a year from now, maybe, but maybe not right now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
At all? I mean.
Kinda. You always kinda make sense,
here we
Shocker.
Go. Kinda.
Oh, goodness.
You can't win with this guy. You really can't.
I know. That's just the way I am. So the Bengals, three, in my opinion, three solid draft picks, and they've got some damage they could do on Saturday.
They've got a lot of picks left.
Yeah.
They do a lot.
And I would be interested to see where they go with quarterback. Zach Mettenberger is still available. Tom Savage is still available out of University of Pittsburgh. Like you said, Kenny Guyton is still available. Aaron Murray is still available.
A.J. McCarron still
A.J. McCarron is still available. And a lot of things I saw, a lot of mock drafts, ladies and gentlemen, had the Bengals drafting A.J. McCarron in the fourth round.
I would have liked to see that. I would like to see that.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a nice fit, to be honest with you, because A.J. McCarron, you know, people can, you know, tweak this, tweak that, but this kid knows how to win. Bottom line, he comes from winning program, a pro-style offense in Alabama, and just the kid knows how to win. That's the most important thing. When you got a confident attitude about you, but you're able to carry it, you know, in the way that he does, I'd love to have him on the team. Absolutely. And his
smoking hot girlfriend would just be such a treat.
I'm sorry. I think she's going after Musburger before she goes after you.
Oh, yeah, because Musburger's a catch.
Musburger's got something you don't.
What?
Money.
That's true.
I'm just saying. He's got money.
And you're telling me A.J. McCarron's not going to have some do-re-mi?
Not as much as Brent Musburger.
Well, okay, I understand. But did you... All right, apparently...
Unless Brent Musburger's gambled it all away, which we know that he does.
That's also a possibility. But no, Catherine Webb in Cincinnati, I could get used to that. I could get used to that.
Oh, jeez.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the first 2 days of the NFL draft here on our Sports Report.
Want our up-to-date opinions on the latest sports happenings? Then follow us on Twitter at @OS_report. It'll change your life.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Going to wrap things up here from our sports report, the NFL Draft Podcast Edition. Kurt Ashcraft alongside Matt Schock with you. Kind of broke down what the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals were able to do in the NFL Draft. So far through the first 2 days, or the first three rounds, if you want to be technical about it. A little bit of a sports update for you, ladies and gentlemen. Yu Darvish got through 8 2/3 innings with a no-hitter, and then gave a hit to none other than Big Poppy David Ortiz.
He gone.
And ended the no-hitter. This is the second year in a row that Yu Darvish had a no-hitter, I believe, through 8 2/3 innings, and then lost it.
So clearly, Yu Darvish is bad.
Yes, yes. He is just terrible.
Because he can't get it done for a no-hitter.
Oh, goodness, yes. Because everybody's throwing a no-hitter.
What does he
phenomenal.
Have to live for at this
point?
Why didn't he just quit?
And this is a Cubs
He's
fan.
He's bonking on the no-hitter. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. You know, just forget everything else he's able to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball right now.
Let's just can it.
Ignore that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good, but he
but
might as well
bad.
Quit because he just, can't just do it all himself.
You are just sad.
What a lazy turd.
You're just
what
sad.
A lazy turd.
God.
You're supposed to do it all yourself, and he just can't do it. Ty Cobb would be making fun of him right now. Well, Ty Cobb would be saying a lot of things right now, but that's not where I'm going with this.
I can say so many things.
We don't want the explicit tag on our podcast.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to stop. Woo, that was good.
Him and Donald Sterling would have been like buddies. So
they were roommates
good.
In college, I bet.
Back in 1892.
Sure, there's a 40-year age difference there, but they had to have hung out. They had to have hung out.
Okay, then. So we've obviously lost the train on the tracks, ladies and gentlemen.
The draft is clearly in its later rounds because we no longer care.
We no longer care.
Anyhow.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, one thing we do want to kind of point out is, Buckeye Country, where we're from, kind of give some love to the Ohio State Buckeyes that were drafted. In the first round, Ryan Shazier went to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, he is now dead to me.
He is now dead to you. I still like Ryan Shazier.
I do too, but he is dead to me.
When we play the Steelers. See, why are you going to act like that? Why do you have to do that? It's just, he put a different jersey, just changes the guy.
Yeah, he's dead to me now.
Okay.
Can't do it. Done.
Okay, all right. So now
same with John Simon. Name the award after
him. Oh, come on.
Dead to me. Ravens. Gone. Dead.
You're just sad. Just
dead.
Bitter, sad.
Can't do it. I cannot root for that.
You're hateful.
No,
I'm
not.
Full of hate.
Anger. No, none of that.
And then Bradley Roby went in the 31st pick in the first round.
Not dead to me.
Not
See,
dead.
See, it's not
obviously.
Everyone. Of course, we all know my feelings about Bradley Roby.
Right, yeah.
So he might as well be dead to me. But not. But not.
Okay.
I don't have a ban on rooting for the Broncos.
Okay, that's good. Were you rooting for them on the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
I picked the Seahawks to win that game.
Okay. So.
Who else?
So Bradley Roby goes Denver. And then in the second round, Carlos Hyde goes to the San Francisco 49ers, which an interesting pick, but something's got to be going on there.
Yes. Him and Frank Gore are going to have their way with the league.
Yes, they will. Yes, it's just going to be
a bulldozer.
Oh, God, it's going to be dirty. It's going to be just so disgusting for every defense out there. Whew. And then Ohio State, also, the last pick for the Buckeyes to come out was Mr. Jack Muhort. Fan favorite around the Columbus area.
Love the guy.
How can you not love Jack Muhort?
Would have liked seen the Browns take him.
And
I think that would have been a good second-round pick.
And then Muhort gets drafted by
none other than
the Indianapolis Colts.
The Colts.
The Indianapolis
Colts.
So
he gets to go protect Andrew Luck.
Not a bad idea.
Nope.
Nope.
No, that's a solid pick for them. And
completely agree.
He is only half dead to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There's already some dead to you because of the Colts?
Yes. They were on my list of teams
that
I cannot root for.
You are absolutely insane.
Why? Because I'm a true fan.
Oh, okay. No. All right. This does not make you a true fan, okay?
I knew it would take a little bit of time to get you to this level,
but
here we are.
Oh, my God. All right. A true fan is someone that respects the game as it is.
I did not say that I didn't.
You are completely taking a crap over it because, God forbid, a guy plays for a team that, well, if things would have went this way, the Browns would have never left. Blah, blah, blah. Hanky panky BS blah.
Hanky panky.
You heard me, okay?
That has nothing to do.
Well, your jibber jabber that you're throwing out there, your gobbledygook, it's just disgusting, okay? It's just disgusting.
I think it's great.
Well, that's good.
I would, right? Anyhow, he's not fully dead to me, so what's your problem?
I'm just saying.
Only half.
Okay.
Of the teams that we've mentioned, if I were to divorce the Browns, the Colts are the least objectionable of the four that I mentioned as being a no-go.
Okay.
They're the least objectionable. So
are the Titans and the Jaguars still on the hunt?
No.
Oh, man.
Definitely not the Jaguars, for heaven's sake.
Come on, man.
They're
that just
horrible.
Makes too much sense.
That makes no sense.
Well, for you, it makes plenty of sense.
None.
Oh, my God.
I'm not doing this to get worse. You know, you don't leave somebody to just go ratchet. I mean, that's horrible.
There's
you don't leave a chick with three teeth to date a chick with no teeth.
That's
okay?
A good point. That's a good philosophy
I'm
to
just
live
saying.
By. I want that on my headstone.
I will write that down, sir. On his headstone.
The day I die.
I'm going to be there with a chisel. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, yeah. It's happening. Okay, folks. If you have made it this far, God bless you.
Well, folks, in all honesty, we really appreciate you joining us. Hope you enjoyed the 2014 NFL Draft version of the Our Sports Report podcast. Matt
Pac-Man
Schock and
Jones,
I.
This one is for you. Just
absolutely.
So you know.
God bless you, Adam Pac-Man Jones. Just God bless you.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
No one else has. So we're just so happy to have you on board with Our Sports Report. So welcome to the family, my friend. For Matt Schock, I am Kurt Ashcraft. For another edition of the Our Sports Report podcast. Good day and good night to you all.